This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, Fred.
Oh, morning, good morning, good morning. Got me out of my doze there, I was just daydreaming.
You're lucky, I was fighting the earphones.
G'day, guys.
Not too bad, it's a nice day.
Just got a frost,
chill in the air.
Had a couple of frosts in the last few days, but it's a bit of a breeze, so it's you need to be in the sun but out of the wind.
Yeah, very much so.
There's my mental health tip for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just choking on a furball.
That's a Biden problem.
Off Mr. Luxon's head.
is this in response to his cozying up to all the other NATO...
Don't get me started. Who wants to lead that conversation?
Not me. I thought it was just a warmonger's fest, to be frank.
What the heck are we doing over there? This is NATO. What are we doing over there? What are we doing? Oh, okay, I know he's kissing ass, etc. Pardon the pun. I hope he took plenty of Vaseline. He'll need it. You know.
Well, this is the second tier. We're not going to be members. We're going to be partners.
It's some sort of
This is the North. Hang on, NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Are we in the Atlantic or the Pacific?
Pacific and we're south.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're nowhere near them. And yet we've somehow got ourselves joined.
Well, we're not the only ones. There's other countries.
Sure. But I'm just thinking
partners.
It's just a. I can't be rude, but it just seems to be some sort of.
Well, leading off from that, I was just embarrassing watching Biden introduce Vladimir Zelensky as president of Ukraine as Vladimir Putin.
Especially when he said that, well, I want to introduce to a brave blah, 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 and then goes to President Putin.
Yeah, I listened to his speech, and he's talking about, he was taking fielding questions about, I wouldn't have chosen Trump as my vice president because she's no good. What?
And this is the vice president. If anything happens to Biden.
This is him supposed to be sharp as a pen.
Yeah. Well, the vice president automatically becomes the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shouldn't you be supporting your vice president?
Should be.
Forget that he mixed up the name. That's just Bidenites.
I thought he'd be endorsing her.
But it
was all cringeworthy. I just couldn't believe it.
I'm sorry, the whole NATO thing. The only one I give credit to was the Spanish Prime Minister. Got up and had a good go about the hypocrisy and about what are we doing about Israel. And the genocide against the Palestinians.
Much as I just kept banging on about how terrible Russia was and killing all these civilians and hitting a hospital, but no mention of Israel doing the same thing.
Isn't it the hypocrisy? Yeah. It's just awful.
It's quite blatant, eh? It's just cringeworthy.
And our media. Bless their little cotton socks.
They've been lapping it up a bit.
This was on Wednesday, and it's been all week.
Yeah.
Here's this thing. There's two here. Like, confusion reigns as Israeli forces bombard Gaza. Very soft sort of, just saying. And here's the other headline in the international part of the Herald. Moscow missile blitz strikes cities, hits hospital and kills dozens.
slightly different.
But the connotation is it's killed dozens in the hospital.
But it hasn't.
It had killed a doctor, tragically, a doctor and someone else. But and there was lots of other articles around in the West that sort of implied that everyone was killed in the hospital.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah,
and it wasn't true.
Quite correct.
There was some killed, but but you read that, and if you didn't bother to read it all the way through, you first glance, you think, oh, dozens were killed in the hospital. Isn't that terrible? Those bastard Russians, you know? Meanwhile, how many people have died and been killed, not just died because of natural causes, have been killed in the hospitals in Gaza?
Yeah.
There's been a lot.
Thousands, probably, you know?
They were blatantly killed too.
They were targeted, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and the world condemns Russia for this barbaric act of striking a hospital.
Which it is. But they just admit Israel just gets a free cut.
Okay, one missile struck a hospital, and that's terrible. Yeah. But how many missiles have struck the hospitals? Hmm. How many hospitals still existing in Gaza?
I think there may be none.
Yeah, there's bits and pieces, but yeah, okay. Yeah. But here's another thing that worried me, well, disturbed me, I suppose, if I can't be disturbed anymore, was in this article, the same article, new British Prime Minister Keir Starmer called the attack, this is about the Russians attacking Ukraine on the hospital, called the attack depraved and pledged to stand with Ukraine against Russian aggression, you know? How can he to have a go at the Russians?
But nothing about Israel.
Whereas meanwhile, Israel, well, not so much. They're just a little bit heavy-handed. You know, there's just such blatant hypocrisy. And even our Prime Minister, New Zealand's given 17 million or something like that. How much are we giving to people, you know, because Russia's invading Ukraine? Israel is invading Gaza. And we've reintroduced our aid for UNRWA. But, you know, the hypocrisy is that it's like Russia's are bad guys, Israelis not so much.
Yeah.
And in fact, they're not bad, they're just a bit heavy-handed. You know, and it's just...
Oh, it's just hypocrisy.
It's appalling. And it makes you realise more and more, we think we're the good guys in the West, are we?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We seem to be racist, supremacists. It seems if you're brown or you're yellow, you're a target.
And exploitative and all the rest of it.
You know, so we're protecting our herd. It's just awful. It's not more than embarrassing because it's a disgrace.
It makes all the pledges they express in the UN just meaningless.
Yeah, and why isn't New Zealand spending $17 million on giving munitions to Ukraine for the Russians and Ukraine
military
to kill each other? Why don't we spend $17 million on peace envoys and go and find out? Go and spend the money, put the pressure on, you know?
Yeah.
But no, we'll just quite happily supply munitions. You know, help them pay for stuff, you know?
Yeah. Disgusting. Yeah, that NATO meeting is all about promoting what is bad about the West.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And they still bang on about this. They've got to deal with Putin because he's going to come for the West.
And Putin's...
He's not going to stop at the Ukraine. They keep telling the lie that he's going to come marching through into Western Europe.
And where's the evidence? And it was an interesting guy from Ireland, who was some expert, and he said, well, actually, there's no evidence, and he'll be poo-pooed for it, but he said, there's no evidence that Russia has said they want to go any further than get the Donbass back for the ethnic Russian population.
Yeah.
And that's what. What have we heard about them going, well, yeah, we're coming for you, da-da-da? Russia's never stated that.
We've only heard that from politicians.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because they've got vested interest. We've got to explain to the people why we're spending all this money on munitions. It's because of Russians.
Yeah, they're
it's
coming
the
for you.
Classic Cold War. The Russians are coming, the Russians are coming.
Yeah, you did right. You know,
Then they drag the Chinese into the argument. And our so-called Prime Minister, Mr. Luxton, talked about the possibility of a potential flashpoint in the Pacific, similar to the Ukraine. And they're almost like saying that the finger was pointed to China.
Yeah. Don't we trade with China?
Yeah, we do, actually.
And how many Chinese people live here?
Quite a few.
But they're still going to be our enemy.
Isn't that bizarre? The US is still getting their uranium from Russia.
Yeah.
They're still trading them. The sanctions are thinking, what? It's bizarre.
What a tragedy the world has become. And they say, the call for peace is where? And you got to give You know, you got to give the leadership at least you've got to give President Lula, and you've got to give, I think, even Orban, who's got some sort of tendencies to be far right or to be, what do you call it, very conservative. But at least he went and talked to Russia and talked to China, because to try and figure out how can we sort this deal. And Russia said, right, you NATO stays out of Ukraine, etc., guarantees our autonomy, etc. We'll talk. Let's talk.
Yeah. But there's no talk.
The West don't want to talk. They want to sell weapons. They're quite happy for a tank to go over there, kill a few Russians if it can. The Ukrainian crew in return get killed. The tank gets blown up, and they order some more tanks. And where are they made?
And the media's spinning this yarn too.
Huh?
The media's compliant.
Oh, of course they are.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
They're still spinning the old warmongering Russians and.
But the same families that own the media also own the munitions companies. Yeah. Or have shares, and anyone can.
But yeah, yeah. And in the reconstruction companies.
Well, the same families will have that. So when you know, it's the same cartel of elite own everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because they were talking about Russia and their relationship with China and what China were doing for Russia.
Mm.
Like around economically, helping them economically, helping them with their infrastructure. Ooh, but they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But then again, well, you shouldn't be supplying arms to Ukraine, and you shouldn't be supplying arms to Israel.
That's right, you know. Yeah. That's how they make their money.
Yeah.
And keep their hegemon intact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That mm-hmm. we're the leaders of the free world, but the hypocrisy of calling it the free world is just...
It's bizarre.
Yeah. And I say, New Zealand, did we, the people, go back to Switzerland? At least they have referendums on what they do. What do we do here? Luxon goes off and gives all this money, kisses bottoms all around the NATO, whatever, and where's the conversation about it? Where's the asking the people? Is it a good thing, bad thing? And the people might say, yeah, we want to support Russia. We want to support Ukraine. I'm doing a Biden, sorry. we may well if we had a vote, but people aren't very well informed, of course.
We're not well informed about these sorts of things.
It's deliberate.
Which is deliberate. So if you ask the population, go, yeah, those Russians are bad. Well, actually,
prove it.
What do we actually know about the Ukraine-Russian situation? You know, how many people actually have actually had a look at it?
The government or the media won't explain it to people.
No, well, it's too busy exploiting things in the media about hospitals, being attacked, or the gold teeth saga, you know, where they're pulling out, torturing Ukrainians, taking their gold teeth out, which is all a complete fabrication,
yeah,
you know? Just old dentistry stuff,
Mm-hmm.
So I biggest belief we've head in that we're not being independent,
definitely. We're the rule-based order stuff. Yeah.
Because
that happened under the previous...
What happened to international law? International law where's the international law on Israel and Palestine? Where's the international law on Ukraine and Russia? If there is international law, the international law says Russia's invading, fine. But that international law should also apply to Israel. But how can we look one way and say, poor Ukrainians, and the other way we go, well, they started on October the 7th. You know, we just don't want to go near the Israel-Palestine situation.
Yeah, and that's where ignorance comes into play.
That's a mess. So that's my rant. Okay.
Well, yeah, I just made a comment like, does Putin actually have a doppelganger?
Yeah, I just think Ukraine, before this whole thing started off, Ukraine had a shocking reputation for corruption and everything else. And, and now they're sort of the good guys, and you know, and all those people have been killed. And the other argument that is not well talked about or discussed is this thing about the hospital in Russia. Yeah, and it's awful, and they killed civilians. But if you look at the Russia-Ukraine war, the Ukraine-Russia war, or whatever you want to describe it, is very few civilians have been killed in comparison to
what's happened in Palestine.
What Israelis have done to the Palestinian
people.
They just seem to go, well, there's a couple of bad guys gone in that building, we'll take the building out. Who cares if there's 200 people in there? And Russia has said, we don't deliberately target civilian populations. And if you look at the death toll in the whole Donbass, the civilian population, that's reality, whether some of it was targeted, but in general, they're soldiers fighting soldiers.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not like we did in the Second World War with Dresden and all that, where we just carpet bombed cities that were full of civilians.
Yeah.
Generally, the civilian casualties in the Ukraine war haven't been the main target, and it's obvious because of the statistics.
Yeah.
Whereas, I say, back to the Palestinians. I mean, we don't even know, but is it 3 to 4 to 1? You know, they say they killed 40,000 people. How many were actually defenders? How many were actually in the Gazan military defense forces?
Most of them were we the people. Stuff.
Most of them would have been civilians.
Yeah.
Mum and the kids as well, you know. So, yeah. That's my rant. Oh, yeah. And so we're still doing, there's something on at Cambridge today. There's a Palestinian, little Palestinian support group there from 11 to 12, Cambridge Town Square. And then in town today, the Hamilton CBD, from 1 to 3, there's a thing for Palestine and a kids event, et cetera, et cetera. And Mick and I, no doubt, will be there on the corner of Cambridge Road, Naylor Street, Wairere Drive, from 1 to 2, waving a flag with a coat on if it's cold.
Yeah.
And I got one more community announcement. Today at Hillcrest, down by the gun club on Wairere Drive, not far from where the flag thing is, between 1 and 3, they're doing a native tree planting behind the gun club, next to Knighton Road School, the cycle track, and in the back there. And that's where I volunteer, but we're just, there's a bit of spare land there that they're trying. The council's got this program that they're meant to be trying to regreen the city. So this is one of the areas that it's about half an acre or so, and we plant that up. So that's happening today at between 1 to 3. So anyone wants to go and give a hand, take the kids down and get them to run around and plant a tree upside down?
Plant a tree, yeah.
Yeah.
Plant the kid upside down. Yeah, I had this thing about we have these, the kitchen has these big containers which they use for the lunches for the schools, and they were sitting there dormant there one day, and I suggested that they put some of the children from the holiday program in them. That might just quiet things down. But no, I can't do that. Okay, from our almanac, our Bible, July the 13th.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't do
Bastille Day. Right?
We can't do your day. 1948, Japan introduced the Eugenics Protection Act into law. The bill had been submitted by the Socialist Party and legalised abortion and some types of contraception, but its main provision was to greatly expand sterilisations of disabled people to prevent the birth of supposedly poor quality children.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next half century, nearly 17,000 people, mostly women and girls, some as young as 9, were forcibly sterilised. Another 8,000 were sterilised with consent, in inverted commas, although in reality they were probably pressured by authorities to agree. Many of those sterilised had been diagnosed with mental health problems or with things like hereditary feeble-mindedness. Oh, is that Biden?
I don't know, from Japan.
Might have had a facelift.
Can I, on that, you might know or not, is that, was that also introduced because of the nuclear attacks on Japan? Would they have also been trying to protect the statistics because of people who had radiation sickness, et cetera, and had children? You know how they talk about Vietnam birth defects in the next generation?
I don't know, because I know there was a program kind of similar in Sweden, wasn't there?
And also around about that time, or maybe a bit later, UN was kind of sponsored. There was a sterilisation program going on in India, other places.
Latin America, the Yanks tried it.
Because some people decided that the demographics were swinging against them.
Yeah.
That could be
other people outbreeding Europeans,
and that could be this. So nearly 60,000 women. Nearly 60,000 women had abortions because of illnesses that were allegedly hereditary. The law was overturned in 1996, with paltry compensation paid to surviving victims in 2019. While more recently, eugenics has been associated with the far right. and the past figures on the left had also advocated for it.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just...
So eugenics, is that a form of supremacy, of trying to protect the...
It's trying to weed out what people consider as undesirable human characteristics.
Yeah. So your Nazis tried it with the Jews?
Not just the Jews, anybody who had a
feeble mind,
defect.
Intellectually handicapped,
disabled physically or mentally. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's
trying to weed out the undesirable characters.
A bit like some people, when we had COVID, some said, well, they didn't mind it going through because it would clean up some of the disabled and weaker people. You know, there was that Trump, Boris Johnson and Trump both said, oh, well, if it takes a few of the herd out, they were weak anyway. Yeah.
Until someone pointed out to Johnson that some of those people he was talking about letting go voted for him. So he changed his mind.
I thought Trump's support base was feeble-minded.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're all feeble-minded, the Americans. God, what a mess they are.
Something to do with inbreeding.
Mm. Wow,
And finally, in 1976, a team of Uruguayan and Argentinian soldiers kidnapped Uruguayan anarchist Sara Mendez and friend. She woke up in a torture camp run by the US-backed dictatorship and was unable to track down her infant son, who had been taken from her and put up for adoption. They were not reunited until 2002.
Gee. Mm. American-backed.
American-backed, yeah. Those in those bad old days.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's from our almanac.
Wow.
Mm. So what have you got for us today, Mick?
Well, tomorrow's Bastille Day.
Okay.
But, 66, was it, I think the final result was 66% of the population voted in the second round.
Yeah.
So there's a definite continuing trend of voter apathy or cynicism and...
Yeah, they were quite happy. The interesting thing is, oh, great, we got 66% voting. And they're like, oh, 34% didn't vote. It was still, you know, highlight the positive, I suppose.
Yeah, well, the same thing happened in the UK.
Yeah. Can I give on that, I just thought it was, the hype was pre the second round of the French election was, the far right are going to win and all that. And the media built that up and played that. And then when they didn't, shock, horror, you know, not shock, horror, but shock, yay, the far right have been defeated, et cetera. But it was quite common. Before the second round, the moderates, which was Macron and then a group of the far left or the left, all got together and did a deal to say, well, let's keep the far right out, and they stood down candidates, etc., and lots of these seats. And of course, that was common knowledge, and yet the media still went, "Oh my God, the far right didn't win! What amazing! They're bound to win," and when they didn't, and it was a stitch up, it kept the far right out, which might be a good thing. But the honest thing was, it was still a stitch up. It was a bit like strategic voting in the UK election.
They came to an arrangement.
Yeah, they came to an arrangement. And they should have just won it. The arrangement should keep the far right out. That's what the media should have talked about. It was a freedom of choice. Yeah, I just thought, sorry.
Dirty deal.
But they're on notice now, though, the left, because if they can't cooperate and govern for the benefit of the people of France and the country as a whole, the right's going to come marching through.
Well, yeah, and we were talking about before we came on air, let's face it, for Macron, who is sort of represents I would call him more to the right than a moderate, but okay.
He's a Tory,
Who's his natural partner, the far right or the left?
Far right.
Far right.
Well, look at New Zealand. Our coalition is a moderate right party, another right party and a far righter party, race-based parties. And so Macron, they talk about the left, but when they got the opportunity to be in parliament with them, etc., will he actually choose the left, or will there be a surprise deal between Macron and the far right?
Man, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. You don't really know with French politics, do you?
No.
But they're on notice now. They've got to cooperate.
Well, and I hope they do, and hopefully the left and Macron sees that, you know, if they
the greater good.
The greater good. And they've done the stitch-up deal to get themselves there. Yeah,
that's the easy part in comparison.
Now the greater good says...
The governing part is difficult.
Yeah. Let's do something for the people.
Yeah, well,
all the people, not just a few people.
It would be nice if those platitudes weren't just a platitude, that they put some action behind
it. Well, we'll see, won't we? It'll be quite interesting for
them. I think it'd be fairly quiet. You said last week it'd be fairly quiet till after the Olympics.
They'll try to keep a thing of order and whatever
because
else.
Yeah, we'll focus on Paris.
Oh, absolutely.
The last thing they want is riots in the streets.
Yeah.
Well, was it? Demonstration.
Yeah, so they'll try and just keep this either announced or they'll just leave the guy in there who's the what's the name of the French Prime Minister? But they've already refused his resignation, so they might just try and get through the Olympics, get the publicity, get them walking across the Seine on the poop pad. I mean, swimming across the Seine because I've cleaned it up. And, you know, do that sort of thing, and then after the Olympics it'll be a shit show. Pardon the pun.
But they had this rally with a leftist leader. I don't know who's
Mélenchon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were singing the Internationale. So
And the good thing about the leftists, from my pro-Palestinian viewpoint, is that the men in the far left over there, they've called for France to recognise Palestine. So that's one of their sort of things. So that's great. You know.
That
won't necessarily happen, but it's still on the meal card. And there's been moans from the far right and others in the social media because when they did the celebrations, they said, oh, there's Palestinian flags everywhere. In actual fact, Al Jazeera does a bit of fake or truth, and they looked up, and the photos that these far righters were putting in about Palestinian flags here were false. They were actually from a pro-Palestinian rally months earlier.
Yeah.
And that just shows you how... Because that sort of photo went around in even some of the mainstream stuff about the Palestine, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, they've grabbed a photo. No one's checked that it's right or wrong.
Yeah, right.
But like
the
gold teeth in Ukraine,
We use that.
And, and they've used it, you know. Yeah, so,
The days of journalism, seems to be sort of...
What flags were flying at the red, at the far left party then?
Well, they've got the French, they've got the Communists, the Socialists.
Can we draw it?
The Greens. Well, that's how they're betrayed, of course, is that, you know, the left's full of commies and all that. But communism had the ideal of communism and socialism was for the betterment of everyone.
Yeah.
That's the ideal behind it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the ideals.
Of course, like anything, it got corrupted.
Didn't happen.
When you mention Le Pen, you'll always mention Vichy France. The French SS.
But we shouldn't write off Le Pen because her heir apparent, what's his name?
The young fella.
Who's, you know, he's very slick. And he's astute. So, yeah.
But he's a racist.
Well, he's certainly based on, fervent nationalist.
Well, yeah, racist.
And anyone who starts going, I'm a New Zealander rather than I'm a human being, you've got some issues, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Mick?
Well, we were talking before I came in there, but I was asking you any of your clients, when you in your line of work, get the electricity cut off and then reconnected. And this is a campaign, this is by the advocacy group Common Grace, which is calling for the end of charges which can result in around $300 being stacked onto already high bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just wondering, we must get some clients who fall in that category, or maybe not.
No, we haven't, actually, in that one.
How many did we say, 40 or 50,000?
Second page. I did something like 40,000 households have their power disconnected for non-payment each year. Those struggling say they've got on without food to clear power debt. Meanwhile, the four main companies, which is World Energy,
Genesis,
Meridian, and another one.
Trustpower, is it?
Yeah. So they make combined profits of $7.4 million a day.
Yeah, they could easily wipe those off.
Yeah, because there's someone, Kate Day says from Common Grace, saying that the cost... It could be scrapped or they could reduce it markedly. You know, it doesn't cost them $150 to flick a switch
and flick it back on again. And people don't deliberately not pay their power bill.
No.
You know,
but if you get caught up in that cycle of scrambling, and you,
yeah, yeah.
You know, one hiccup, you know, like the car breakdown or whatever.
You're
scrambling, and this comes as report comes as Consumer New Zealand reports the financial records of the big four companies, which you just mentioned, combined earnings of $2.7 billion a year. In 2023, that meant a combined net profit after tax of $520 million. And this is a farewell. And as the article says, that you're almost like they're being punished because they're poor. They get caught into that cycle of trying to catch up. And if you've got to find $300 to get your, pay for your power off and then back on again and pay the bill, how the hell are you going to do that?
Well, in, on a limited income where where there's nothing, not much spare, how do you catch up on $300 of debt?
Yeah, but these companies have been cutting people off. There was, I think there was some. It wasn't in this paper, but there was a case where a woman was home and she had an oxygen cylinder. They cut the power off.
Yeah, well, they're not meant to anymore.
No,
yeah.
But they tried to pass the buck, so the family didn't inform us that she required this cylinder 24/7. But as the coroner court said, that the cutting of the power contributed to her death.
She died.
That was a few years ago, wasn't it?
This is a first world country, and we're getting people getting further and further into debt.
Yeah.
Some of them probably come under budget advisors, so that maybe.
Well, even then,
we don't see them.
Yeah, no. There's only so much of the budget advisor. If you've got X amount coming in, and the outlay is X, what's left over? It's not rocket science.
No.
Yeah. No. Basically, the budget advisor would negotiate with the
utility company.
Power company.
I used to do it when I was a support worker in London. I used to negotiate.
Yeah.
Look, I know he knows he's falling behind, but can we negotiate a way of repaying it?
Yeah.
And most companies, provided they were all made aware of it,
will
accommodate him.
Yeah.
But if it got out of hand, is it?
Well, the trouble is, you start getting everyone to pay off everything. You know, there comes to a point where the dollar here, $5 here, $20 here, it doesn't work anymore, you know, because they actually need someone to write that debt and start again, you know?
Well, it gets to that point, eh?
When
it,
yeah.
I mean, some of these people won't have a hope in hell of ever clearing
their debt. We used to see it in the courts, you know, that someone would be in trouble and they'd say, well, they've got this fine, and they're already paying this, and often the judge would say, these guys are never going to be able to pay this off. We need to do something different.
You'll almost be penury for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, so they often they would go, right, we'll wipe the debt and we'll they can do some community work, or they'd try and transfer it to something else to give them. Otherwise, it's just adding on, and there's $5 a week going forever, or there's $20 a week going out.
Because the other thing that creeps in amongst these the same group of people is that they're falling prey to those mobile shops that go around in trucks.
Yeah, them.
Because they can't get credit. They can't from anywhere else. So they have to.
And you need a kettle to boil your
Your
cup of tea.
Or shoes.
They're at the mercy. And okay, there might be bad decisions in there, but that's easy to say when you're middle class, etc.
And living in Smokesville.
Yeah. But you know, let's face it. Things are hard. You're not necessarily able to make the right decisions.
Listen, we're a first world country like the UK, and like the UK, we're getting an increasing number of people living, if not below the poverty line, damn close to it.
Speaking of that, I was in Dinsdale Shopping Centre the other day, and I just felt that I felt I saw the effects of Strugglesville.
You're like in another world.
Yeah, it was, and I live over in Hillcrest here, not in Obstville part, but just an ordinaryville part of Hillcrest. Yeah. But just the whole town centre just looked, there were shops shut and there was a bit of rubbish around and the people, you know, there's a bit of a queue outside Wins, and I just thought, oh my goodness, I wish Luxon would, rather than give $17 million over to Ukraine, come back and go, this is New Zealand. There's areas like this. And Dinsdale won't be the only place.
There'll be a few of them.
You know?
The thing about budget advisors is that central government funding was reduced for them by a third.
Yeah.
So even the number of budget advisors has been cut.
Yeah, and we know that is happening in town at the Hamilton Budget Advice, and Ragland is impacted there, and Tika Whata.
Yeah.
The rationale for cutting budget advisory offices is?
It's something to do with a better way of doing things.
Really?
Well, something like in that terminology.
Do better with less. Almost like more bang for your buck. That sort of.
I think it's the same rationale when they reduced funding for community law and when they cut back on community education.
So it doesn't really exist, so we'll just cut it back a bit.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And it only affects a certain class of people.
Which they don't live in Smugsville and they don't
vote.
They don't have a car, so they can't even drive to Beachville.
And they're more likely not to vote.
And they haven't got membership at the country club. You know, so
it's punishing the poor again, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah,
very much. And the poor don't, you know, and they know, well, the poor don't vote, so who cares, you know.
Yeah. Well, this has caught my eye too. What is the Irish tax that's caught Labour's eye? Apparently, this is on Tuesday of this week, and Labour apparently holding a conference, I think it's at the end of the year. Tax policy is likely to be near the top of its agenda.
Mm.
Finance spokesman Barbara Edmonds sent a strong signal in March that a comprehensive capital gains tax may be back on its table, questioning the fairness of the current system. Most of the 38 developed countries in the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development have both an inheritance tax in some form and a capital gains tax. In Ireland, 33% the Irish pay on inheritances and gifts they receive, so the Irish people can receive up to €335,000, which is $558,000 in gifts and inheritances, and after that they get pinged up. Okay. But the Irish themselves aren't too happy about it either.
No,
because they've paid tax on that money already. If they have paid tax, and they're going to get stung again.
Which it always makes me laugh when they always go that, you know, and that's always the great one. Oh, you know, I've already paid for this and I've earned that money. But I say, some have, but most have just inherited wealth or been a privilege, etc.
Well, that's where this
And then they moan. And they go, well, it's going to affect you, Benny. So why don't you moan about it? And that fact to protect our privilege.
But in that case, when they've inherited that money, they get pinged.
Yeah.
Inheritance tax and capital gain. But we do need to look at a tax system over here.
Yeah.
Well, just on a side, I was just talking to someone, and my son, he's going to Rarotonga today, I think he's going out, so it's a good trip. And then I was talking to someone else, and they were trying to go to get to Rarotonga, and it was all booked out. So when we talk about the economy and the recession, we've got to remind ourselves it's not affecting all people at all. There's another class of people that will be going to the Olympics, will be going to the island holidays, and maybe doing both, you know, who are doing very nicely out of Smugsville, thank you very much.
I gather that when they talk about advertising, see you at the Olympic Games sort of stuff.
Mm.
Think to yourself, who could actually put the money up to do that?
Well, let's face it, a lot of our athletes, the reality is, and some have worked very hard, but a lot of them have also come out of reasonable privilege that they can get supported by family, etc., to go on and advance their sports career. You know, unless you're a really superstar like John Ulama or something, very hard for a lot of people who are from less well-off families to be able to support their children, even if they have talent, to go on, you know.
Well, the reason they chose Ireland is because of the size of population.
In
comparison. And the main differences with New Zealand is that other than the capital acquisitions taxes, that's what they call it in Ireland, and is that corporate tax is low in Ireland. New Zealand does not have a fully-fledged capital gains tax, and New Zealand's GST is more broad-based with fewer exemptions.
Mm. The only thing that saves New Zealand is our GST, really.
We didn't have it.
Everyone has to pay for it.
Yeah, and GST is a tax deductible if you've got a business and all that, but it still gets paid eventually, you know. In the old days of a contractor doing it for cash, doing a cashie, at least if the cashie goes in and he buys a beer or whatever, GST is picked up, you know.
Yeah, GST goes through.
Yep.
And this other one caught my eye. This was Times on Monday. Headline reads, "Out with the posh in return of class warfare." This is in light of the British elections. And I thought,
hello?
Talking about class warfare.
Does he realise the current Labour Party UK is...
This person who wrote this article is, oh, class wars come back.
Hello?
What... Just beggars believe, really. I mean, all the politicians kept banging on about their humble beginnings. Darwin is farm who was a tool maker.
Tool maker.
His mother was a nurse or something.
Oh, well, he didn't make a tool, I suppose.
Yeah, he made Starmer.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
He made Starmer.
Yeah. A right tool, yeah.
Yeah, but class was supposedly banished first by Margaret Thatcher, then by Tony Blair, and finally by David Cameron, is the fact once more in politics, an outbreak of class warfare could easily rival the culture warfare of recent years. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
Unbelievable. This was an election which many people voted against the Tories rather than vote for Labour, appearing to agree with new Foreign Secretary David Lammy's assessment that the traditional ruling class has forfeited its right to rule, which is BS, because the ruling class
is still
always
there.
Always rule.
And the ruling class is still in the Labour
government. They're not going
government.
Away.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
going yeah. So this has caught my... This is utterly ridiculous.
I don't think I can read it.
Lambie's talking through a hole in his head.
Yeah.
Like usual.
Yeah.
They've fought... Yeah, but the ruling class is the ruling class. They've been there for centuries.
What did we work out? There's only 50% of the UK population voted. The population that they're talking about class difference didn't vote.
Going above your article, did you take note of this one? The second wedding of the century.
Oh, yeah, in India.
Yeah, what does it cost? Reported $100 million US for a wedding.
Yeah, and the likes of Tony Blair have been invited. It was on Al Jazeera this morning.
I think Justin Bieber sung or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
Is it what they call singing?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Oscillating the vocal cords, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe after
that's a class thing.
But right next to that wedding, you've got people living in absolute squalor.
But that shows your class. And it seems to be a human nature thing. People like showing off. How wealthy they are. And it used to be a bit more demure in lots of countries, but now you have wealth, you've got to show off your wealth.
New wealth. Yeah. Old wealth, they didn't.
Not as much,
obvious. But they also put something back into the community and looked after some of their retainers when they retired. But the new money wants to show off.
Or the new money goes, I worked hard for my money, I just want to show off. And they could be like me if they were.
It's just obscene.
There was that case where they shut off that street.
They've closed off streets for this wedding.
They did it in Australia, didn't they, for that wedding?
They did it with Kiri Te Kanawa up in Tirafiti, where I was. They closed off the road and I was indignant because I wanted to go to over there.
Go to the pub.
It was closed for some bloody thing. I remember this is a long time ago, but...
They should close off her mouth.
Yeah. Class. It's just class.
We've talked about this before, but this caught my... They reckon they're going to need up to 90,000 new homes in the Waikato sub-region. And it's saying that 90,000 new dwellings could be needed in Hamilton and adjoining areas by mid this century, and more than $5 billion will be needed for infrastructure to support those developments.
Is this Chris Bishop's idea? Is he going to provide them?
He isn't actually getting mentioned in this article.
Oh, didn't he?
But
This
was a survey or a report done by the Waikato University's projections that housing was expected to increase by approximately 60%. Or 66,000 additional dwellings in urban areas from 22 to 52. And this figure stretches out to a further 75,400 on margin on demand is supplied. I'm not quite sure what that means. but staggering numbers, though.
It'll be something that the government won't look at.
Well, let's hope that the Immigration Department and the Housing Department Everyone talks together to each other, unlike the nurses fiasco. You know, let's hope they all talk to each other and go, at least what do we need?
They mentioned infrastructure. You're going to have to spend
extra infrastructure.
Is the poo pipe big enough to handle the subdivision?
Or will
subdivision?
It go for a cheap option? 90,000 based on the potential for sub-regional population to be around 550,000 in 30 years compared to 374,000 in 23. The government's proposed housing rules are pushing us to plan that high 90,000 scenario.
Interesting.
Yeah, but 44 Waikato 13,900, Waipa 9,400, Matamata Piako 7,700. But
they're growing places, eh? Population growing, and it probably flows out from Auckland.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this before, but where's the infrastructure?
Well, it's sort of...
Well, they need the infrastructure.
Yeah, we need the infrastructure. But we also need the... Have we got enough hospitals?
And who's
going to
get those houses?
Yeah.
Is it going to be indigenous homegrown refugees languishing in
refugees in their own land?
Emergency housing?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be new Zealanders coming in?
With a suitcase of money.
That part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was something interesting. I just flipped through that piece and showed me on the next page. They were talking about Bider, Bider the councillor.
He made that
sort of nasty comments about, what was it, Waipa Council?
Yeah, he used the F word quite a bit.
Yeah, and they were talking on, who was talking about it? I think it was Paul Bider was talking about there was a process within something to do with local government that was put up by the previous government around an arbitrational setup, but using this example, it's appeared that Southgate and the mayor for Waipa are totally agreeing with it. So they have this arbitrational thing, because this person's not going to back down, is he?
Yeah.
So put some sort of arbitrational mediation in place. It was one of the things that were scuttled by the current local government minister, because it was a Labour thing.
Okay.
So they got no comeback on this thing around mediation. How highly intelligent is that?
Yeah, okay. So everything's politicised, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been politicised. If it was Labour that done it, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
It's childish. It's just part of this.
Well, I say, and I think basically the population, we all want, whoever you vote for, we just want them to work together for the best possible outcomes, that's not just for Smugsville people, but for everyone here.
But if something is tarred like that, like it's a former government policy and it's gone, it proves how short-sighted we've really become and negative.
Mm. Yeah.
It's petty politics.
Confrontational rather than cooperation.
Mm. Petty politics, yeah. And it looked like Brown took great pleasure in getting rid of those sorts of things.
Mm.
Yeah.
Everything's politicised. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nothing about the greater good. This caught me on. PSA attacks government position on Tireo. Public servants are confused as hell over ministerial directives on Tireo. This is about bilingual signs, and the rollout, it's been described as confusing. The New Zealand First campaign stripping government departments of their Te Reo names. Winston Peters saying at the time, it was not an attack on the Maori language, it's an attack on the elite virtual signalers who have hijacked language for their own socialist mean. That's a load of BS.
That's just ignorance. He's playing the ignorant.
And that's being exploitative. He's doing a Trump and spinning.
And let's face it, elite and socialist, that contracts itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
It's an oxymoron.
At least if he said the elite and the upper class of Māori.
He doesn't like Te Reo. He keeps banging on this. It's been elitist.
It's not.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it, because his own background is... He's got Maori in him, isn't he?
He's Maori.
Is this? Which one?
Mr. Peters.
Yeah, he's Maori. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not at least, because you may have a kōhanga reo in a poor area and teaching the children the language,
yeah,
custom and something like that. That's not elitism. That's just they're in an area.
We live in a country, and we still retain a lot of place names, have Maori names, etc.
I just don't get the problem.
What's the problem? Just accept it.
And he's making a big issue out of this.
Grow up.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Because he was the same.
He wants to prioritise English, so he's.
He was the same person who spun that gossip around what happened with the ferries.
Something about a button being pushed.
And a lot of it was kind of hearsay.
Yeah. But you go you hear people go overseas and you go, Mick would probably know, you go to France or places like that.
But
they're bilingual. They have different names.
Wales, Scotland. And basically, the English names of places like in Britain, for example, they have an original name.
Yeah.
Or something else.
And it's quite interesting because, like, we have Hamilton here, which, okay, has got a bit of a bad past, for colonial past, to say the least, not rather than, you know, it is bad if you were the victims of colonisation. But areas, you know, this is the thing, it's like, oh, an empty land, so we have the right to name it. Most, sure, there was some, Kirikiri Roa wasn't as big as it was then. Mm. And there's other place names that Māori used, as the cities got bigger and bigger, have been incorporated into it. But there were places that weren't named. But like Raglan, Whangaroa, it had a name first. And if there was something that was used by the local Māori population, where it was for birthing or was it a harvest, they would have had a name for it. That's human nature. Mm. We would have named, but we don't have a name. I don't have a name for everywhere in my backyard. I have, oh, there's the vegetable garden and there's the...
Is that blade of grass over there?
There's my new fire pit, you know. But I don't name it all. So we generalise, and that's a human being thing. Mm. You know, there would have to be a name why we called something something. You know, so there's the hill. Well, that's the name of the tree. Go and tie a swing under the Mongolia tree. So we'd have a name for that. But we didn't necessarily have a name for every tree in the garden. No. We knew what it was, but...
When they wrote the old minutes for the land court, and even those that preceded the land court, they have a description of the land. It started with that over by that hour over there. There was that tree there. Then there was the. Then it's down to the my whatever tour down to there or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's how areas were described from the river to the sea. Oh, we're not going to say that.
Scientists apparently, New Zealand scientists are fearing impact of government cuts. More than 380 jobs have been shed across New Zealand's small scientific system, which could take decades to reverse the damage. That's according to a new report cataloguing hundreds of millions of dollars in spending cuts in a sector already under pressure from years of restructures in universities. So our intelligent people, our people who are working in the science field, are going to be looking elsewhere.
Academia.
Yeah, or they go overseas.
Yeah, overseas. So
yeah.
Short-term gain for saving money and long-term
whatever
ignorance or lack of research for...
Yeah. And speaking of ignorance, I see a picture there.
Certain individual.
Amplifies it.
Yeah.
I should say. Yeah, and they were talking about numbers of people going on to job seeker support. That's the old... for the old unemployment benefit going up quite significantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under this current government.
Well, if you say, you looked at Dinsdale Shopping Centre on...
They want to triage the numbers and get them off the benefits. Yeah.
But it does show you the where we need to think between people who want to get a business going and do well, etc. So it is important that we don't just knock the people who are trying to encourage to grow jobs and their own wealth, because it does help the people who've got a job as well.
It's a fine balance, though.
Of course it is. And a government often, to me, is the gel. You know, it's like is the butter between the two bits of bread.
But these guys seem to be just... All they seem to be worried about is saving money. And for what purpose?
Well, exactly. If you've got... Let's face it, and they know this. They know that if you're a poor... The poor people don't have the discretion that the wealthy have.
No, they spend their money on whatever.
You give a poor man... $100, he or she will go out and she'll spend it.
It goes through
the system. Yeah. You give someone who's better off, and you give them $100.
You just stick it in his pocket.
They might spend it. They might spend it overseas,
likely spend it overseas,
or use it towards the other hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars they have to buy a house, so they can screw someone. You know, you can buy another rental property.
Yeah, yeah.
It's discretionary for them. You know. And how do you see, I saw a good example. It was in Orange in Australia. This is a few years back. And it was a mining town. It was obviously quite a prosperous time.
Yeah,
but I went in there and it reminded me of up north in the old days at Kawakawa and even Kaikari and down in Butaruru. You know, Friday night and everyone was in there. The families were in the milk bars and their mum and dad and the kids eating and the men's wear. Yeah. Everyone was, and this was Orange, it was just prosperous.
Yeah.
Everyone had a pay packet.
everyone was happy.
Everyone was happy. Yes, yeah, as much as, you know, there's other things in life. But I just thought, you've got to generate so everyone can share in the pot. Just having three wealthy people that own the town, they can only eat one loaf of bread.
Mm.
They might be able to afford an expensive bottle of whiskey, but they can still only drink
but how much, part of how it. Much can be generated? Isn't there a finite point where you just can't generate more growth?
Well, that's where you go back to these families that that own everything in the world, it seems. Where does it end? Well, they own everything.
Well,
So the town is that the capitalist
the
model?
It's the final outcome,
Is that the final outcome?
It becomes a company town and company stores. And
that's
19th century, 18th century.
And is that the Armageddon that they all talk about? Is this the end when the top families own everything and then we all go to hell? You know, I don't know.
Well,
some of the good ones go upstairs, of course.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, I think they do. Trump probably thinks he's one of those. But somebody should pull a ladder out for
him. Well, Biden would if he could think, but...
He wouldn't
be able to get up the ladder.
No, you take the down.
He'd have to get a stair lift.
All right, so we're going to have odds on Kamala Harris. To me, she's the obvious choice.
But it has to be somewhere,
because I don't particularly like her politics and all that, but she's a different generation and she seems to have all the marbles. don't agree with her politics, or don't agree with many Americans' politics, apart from Jill Stein of the Greens.
Because if Joe Biden carries on, I can see him losing.
Badly. Yeah, badly.
Because people keep saying... his performance. I mean, that meeting NATO, and he just muffed his lines and thinking, what the hell's going on?
Well, and the Americans got to see the debate. Apparently, most of the stuff that we've seen for months about Biden, the Americans haven't been showed much of that. So they were quite shocked at the debate. You know, it was a big thing because they don't pay that much attention. You know, they're usually navel gazing. So, they were quite shocked. And, of course, the NATO thing, now that it's a bit of a more of a talking point, is getting into the mainstream media.
It's an international media too.
Let's face it, if Kamala Harris was promoted upwards, I think she's not perfect, but she's a better generation, and she's not going to be a threat to the status quo. So she's still going to be promote the warmongering and everything else, but at least she'll be able to be addressed, and she can address the nation, you know. That's what they should do. They should not take the risk of... Because, okay, Biden gets in. Is he going to see yet another 4 years?
No.
So...
Well, no.
So she, if she stays the vice president, she'll become president anyway.
Yeah.
Why take the risk? Why don't you just... And it would be the right thing. He's a human being. It's not nice to... You imagine watching someone you care about or an older person embarrassing themselves.
Or him watching the news, watching himself.
Yeah.
It must be
crazy. But he might not recognise the person he's watching.
Yeah.
Which is the tragedy of the disease of dementia and Alzheimer's and that. It might be sunset
But it didn't help when the press secretary at the White House deliberately lied to the press.
Oh, her?
Yeah.
It's a marine something. I can't remember.
Yeah, fuzzy head girl.
Yeah, West Indian, by the way.
And made out it was a cold or something. And then... it was about the neurologist who turned up at the White House.
Yeah.
And apparently it's part of the ongoing presidential health check.
Yeah.
Well, they all do. They all get mandatory...
They do have to do tricks,
mandatory, health check. So...
Yeah.
But she muffed it. She... Yeah. And they had to backtrack furiously.
Well, I just think for America's sake and for the world's sake, get some... They need to face up to it. Trump's awful and he's a narcissist and he's dangerous. Biden is dangerous in the sense that doesn't know what he's doing and he's easily manipulated, etc.
For all we know, it
might be President Jill Biden that's run the country for the last 2 years.
I must be laughing. Well, you've got Biden in the White House.
In his pocket.
Yeah.
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 You know? That's what we got.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because President Woodrow Wilson, I think in the last years of his, because he was a two-term president, just either side of the First World War, had a stroke in those last years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they from what I understand, it was because I think he'd been married twice, His second wife was doing most of the country. Most of the work, yeah, around that.
His wife?
His wife, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he'd been badly incapacitated by a stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's face it.
They must have contingency plans when they're a candidate or the president, whoever they are.
Or even George Clooney's come out and said, come on, George, move aside. Come on, America, wake up.
And on that note, we're out of here.
See you next week.
See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.